Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International, of course, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia, a program where we get to discuss some amazing things with some amazing people doing some amazing things. Yeah, that's a lot of amazing. I've got to say good afternoon to my guest this afternoon, Miss Herma DeMarco, who's no stranger to media. So this interview should be an absolute breeze to her. So Herma, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ronnie. Now, you know, you say that, but I feel like every time I'm being interviewed, it's just a little different, you know?
Yeah. Especially when you get to be interviewed by crazy people like me. So, yeah.
I did not want to say it.
Yeah, you know, it's always different. And of course, Herma, you hail from Canaries. We're going straight into the interview. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yes, of course, I'm a Canaries girl. That's something to be proud of. I think it's always something to mention because that is what shaped, I think, the person that I am, my attitude and, you know, just the way that I look at life. Growing up in a village, it's an experience, and I feel like it propels you to look at things differently and to even go for your goals and to just try to achieve in a different way. So, yes, I'm a Canaries girl, and let me say big shout out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What was it like? Like you said, it's a community, but what was it like for you? What are some of the experiences that stood out to you growing up in Canaries?
I think I have a lot of fond memories from Canaries. One of the things would be, I remember when we were younger, the fishermen would come in.
Oh, yeah.
And there would be, like, fish that were too small for them to sell. So they would give it to us. We'd go near the area where they come in, and they would give it to us, and we would rally. So my friends and I, we would rally who goes to, I would go to my grandmother's house because my mother would not have it, to take a pan, who would take a cool pot, and we would assemble by the sea and cook and have conversations. That was by far one of my fondest memories growing up in the village. It was a different vibe. I mean, living in Tashi's area now, I think everybody should at least experience that once in their life. So maybe take a vacation. If you're trying to staycation, take a vacation down to one of the villages and, you know, just experience that lifestyle. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I could actually picture myself sitting on the beach right now and having a nice woty fish, you know, and definitely throwing it into the fire and just eating it straight out of that. Oh, now you have me all hungry.
But it was the best.
Let's talk about schooling, because, you know, education is a big part of what we discuss here on Youth Unplugged. School did you go to, and, you know, let's take it from there.
Okay, so I started school in Canaries. I went to Canaries Infant and Canaries Primary for most of it. So from grade 5, I transferred to Kamen Rene Memorial. Mm. So then I for TXC, wrote TXC, of course, at Kamen Rene. I went to Castries Compre, spent my 5 years there, which was an awesome experience. Thereafter, so after for 2 years, the A-levels division, and then I did a course with Monroe. It was a media, you know, the media course that they offered.
Right.
So, yes, that's the extent of my schooling.
That's pretty awesome. So it kind of segues in and to me asking, how did you get involved in the media? And I guess you answered that from your Monroe experience. But when you were at Sir Arthur, for say, did you really know what career path that your life would have taken?
No. I think at the AFA, it was one of the scariest experiences of my life then, because going from secondary school to Sir AFA, where it's just so free, carefree, teachers don't really check whether, you know, you're at class or not. Going from secondary school, where it's so controlled, to just being dropped in an environment, it was like, what? Like, for me, that was the first real feeling, the first real experience of what life in the working world would be, that you kind of had to be responsible for yourself. And, you know, it took a bit of self-control to kind of get that, the hang of that, but it was good. So AFA for me was a lot of self-discovery, I think, but right. I had no clue. career-wise what I wanted to do.
Nice. And then, so what propelled you to study that, do that media course at Monroe?
So actually, I did the media course when I was already in radio. Because, I started with absolutely, I started in radio with absolutely no experience. I was just enthusiastic, I guess. but I think after 2 or 3 years in media, I wanted some sort of training in it. So I decided to take the course at Monroe. But entering media was something completely different. And I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like it was very unconventional. It's not, how everybody gets a job in media.
Interesting.
You can answer that. Was your entry into media unconventional?
That was so long ago. And, now that I'm still trying to remember, how did I get involved? Oh, yeah. I think the usual thing that most people in media say in St. Lucia started off as at Radio St. Lucia, where you just push yourself and say, hey, I want to come on the show to talk about stuff and what's going on with the youth. And then it just developed from there for me. So what about you? Media conducted an interview. Why are you asking me questions? I just checked what you're doing.
Curious.
You're being such a media person right now.
I was curious. Okay, so for me, it was... it started, my interest in being in media started... I did Carnival Queen in 2014. Mm-hmm. And, there are so many media interviews that you have to go through. And, I've always been intrigued by media. So, a lot of the questions I was asked, what do you want to do? And my answer was, I'm interested in fashion designing as well as journalism, because I wrote a lot at that time. And I remember doing an interview with TC, one of the interviews, and telling him, I know I can do your job, And he said to me, yeah, I believe you. And that was that until, the pageant ended and I decided to leave my job, because I felt like the job that I was in at the time did not allow for me to grow or develop any one of the goals that I had in mind, which was fashion designing and journalism. So I left. I was unemployed for a month, and I actually volunteered with the National Youth Council during that time, and I was very active within the community. And the WAVE was opening its association, Vent Radio. And I guess they called the National Youth Council to look for three or dynamic individuals who would, fill the role well. Mm-hmm. I was one of three that the National Youth Council recommended to be interviewed. So I was sitting at home, got a call on Wednesday by someone named Marcia. Marcia.
Yeah. Marcia!
And I went in on Thursday, had an interview. Actually, I got a call on Tuesday. I went in on Wednesday. I had an interview with the country manager at the time. On Thursday, I met with the regional managers, and they said, okay, after talking to me, you start on Friday. And that was my sink or swim moment, because with no experience, I was then paired to co-host a show with Marcus D, who's very opinionated and strong-minded. Yes. So imagine...
Yeah, how was that like? Because, I remember at that point in time, I worked on this...
And that's why I met you!
Yeah, I worked on the sister station. And, it was a kind of a bit of a weird dynamic, but it seemed like it worked because, with Marcus D and his 1,000,002 doctorates and his wealth of information, my goodness, this is a walking encyclopedia. Was it more like, did you feel like you were going to work or school?
At first it was very intimidating. I remember the first 2 weeks, every day after the show going home, like, what did I get myself into? I don't think I can do this. I remember saying to my cousin at the time, like, I don't understand. Like, he just knows everything about everything, and how am I supposed to keep up with that? But I realized I learned a very important lesson then. It's that you should not necessarily be intimidated by, somebody who knows a lot. Take an opportunity to learn. So I guess a lot of the time, yes, I did feel like a student. And eventually it grew to not me just being a student, but also having something to offer as well. Let me tell you, Google is life.
I know.
So I learned the important lesson of learning on the spot, and having something to contribute. And in about 3 months, I felt like, you know, a fair. I don't want to say competitor because that's the wrong word, and yeah. I don't want to say opponent either. But
yeah.
I felt like a colleague more than a student.
There you go. A colleague is a more appropriate word.
Yes.
Let me tell you, if you put me and Marcus Day in a room together to have a conversation on air, one of us is going to get fired because.
Yeah. Let me tell you, there were moments, you know, already. You know when the mic turns off.
Marcus
was awesome, and I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I keep on following, given his social media post, and especially he's one of the best people. I like to listen to, especially during the weather, when there's inclement weather. I like mm-hmm. the way he structures his posts. It's so straight to the point, and you know. So
yeah, cool. Like he tells you exactly what it is.
Yeah. So big up mm-hmm. Marcus Day. I know you're probably listening. what was the moment for you in radio that you realized that, yeah, I'm doing the right thing?
I had a huge gap with Vent because I did a small morning show called Homer Helps, which was kind of like a helpline for information. And, you know, the show in the afternoon with Marcus. So I had like 4 hours of doing nothing, and I took that time to actually learn production. And, you know, just amassing that knowledge and fitting into that role. And it kind of ignited a thirst for me wanting to know more. Mm-hmm. I remember just about maybe 6 months into doing the job, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely it. Because that 6 months felt like, you know, 6 days or 6 weeks in this job. It did not feel like I was going to work. It felt like I was doing something, and it gave me scope to grow as well. So I had an aha moment at that point where, you know, people I felt like watched me, like, and I think there was a lot of doubt when I started in radio, like, you think she could really do it? You know, same people. Some of these CN people had to now come to me and say, Huma, could you do this for me?
Right.
That was the point where I was like, yeah, you have a thing. You could probably, you know, make something out of yourself in that. And I should say Maureen actually said that to me at one point. I met Maureen again during the time where I did Carnival Queen. She had interviewed us as contestants. And there's a point where I started Advent. She said, yeah, you know what? I think you can, you know, make a name for yourself in media. So shout out to Maureen for that as well. That was that.
Did she tell it to you nicely? Because Maureen, you know, Maureen can be very harsh.
I don't know. Maureen said darling to me. I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah, let me tell you, she's the absolute best, and she gives some really good inspiration. That's why I love talking to her. She's put me in my place a lot of times, too. I love her.
I can imagine.
I love her for that, too. So now that you've now moved on to, you know, now at the GIS, that must have been a very professional leap for you, from working on the wave and doing more of entertainment and now going on to some more serious stuff. Why the change?
That's a good question. So I felt like the wave for at some point, although I was still learning the whole entertainment aspect, I became comfortable at some point. And radio is something that is very difficult to leave, not only because, you know, it's a great job if you like it and if you have a passion for what you're doing, but you also, and Ronnie, I'm very sure you can attest to that, you gain such a connection to your listeners that leaving radio is one of the hardest decisions I think any person who works in media can make. But, you know, with the pandemic rolling in and me wanting to discover more of my abilities and what I could do, you know, they say to really understand what you want to do, you kind of have to try a little bit of everything before you settle. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things, that was one of my goals 13 when it came to media. I applied for the GIS job because I think that's one aspect of media that I have not really touched. I've done a little bit of work in TV with Choice because I did The Vibe prior to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was put on hold So I applied for the GIS job. I was interviewed for it, and they said, you know, yes, you get the job. You got the job, and then the decision was, boy, do I got it. And I don't know. I didn't think that it was something that would pan out. So it was weighing the options. And I felt like, you know, during this pandemic may be a good time to take that leap to explore my writing. Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of, yes, it's very serious.
Okay. So do you actually, with some of the stuff that you present, you actually write yourself or co-write?
Yes, so I write and it's approved by the news editor. But yes, most of the stuff that I present, I'm the one doing the writing.
That's pretty amazing. I couldn't write to save my butt.
Yeah, it's actually my first love. I love writing, and so that's a great opportunity for me to develop it and to also learn, you know, a different aspect of broadcasting. So I guess when I'm done with that journey, the goal is to be an all-rounded broadcaster. You could call me for just about anything, and except MC.
And another thing that we must add to it, unlike most of us in radio, you actually have, you know, the face for more than radio. Some of us just have the perfect face for radio.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much.
You know what I'm saying? But what is it like now working at the GIS, a different environment, and you also get to put in your first love, journalism? What is it like there? What's the environment there? What are some of the things that you've done so far that you have accomplished, apart from them having you run in during that independence presentation? As I bought Dave, whom I just fall. what's that experience like? Tell me more.
You know, it's been pretty amazing. I did not know what to expect going into GIS because I've never really done journalism before. And, you know, GIS from, I don't know, from growing up, you know, you have this image of what the GIS is and what they do there. And I know people who've actually worked at GIS and they tell you, you know, some of the standards that you have to uphold in terms of, you know, the writing and the operation. So I went in very open-minded. And one of the things that I've learned throughout my career is that, you know, just always be willing to learn. It doesn't matter who you're learning from because there are people who may not necessarily have the best attitude towards you, but you have something to contribute and also to gain from them. So just be very humble and open to learn. So that was my mentality going in, and it's just been an amazing experience. Like, you know, my spot at the Wave It Felt Like going to, I've been going to work. Every time I go in, it's like, oh, I get to work on a new project. I get to tell a new story. And I've seen some things that I actually want to learn. Like, it didn't spark, but it furthered my interest in learning videography, which I think, you know, after I've gotten a good hang of journalism, is the next step. It's awesome being able to tell a story, being able to disseminate information as opposed to, you know, just your opinion.
Yeah.
Being able to tell fact in an interesting way that people can absorb it. That's been my journey so far. I've not been there for very long. I started in November, we're in March, so just about 5 months. It doesn't feel like it's been five months.
Barely passed probation,
by the way. Yeah, not yet. Not at all. But it's been great. It's been a really good experience, and I could see myself doing that for a little while.
Let's talk about the age difference, because, I mean, you're probably one of the youngest people on air at the GIS. Am I correct to say that?
On air, yes, but GIS now has a very young staff. You know, there are quite a few people that would still fall under the group of youth. And while I am one of the youngest people, I think you can say on air, on air, that I'm not the youngest staff member.
Okay.
So there are people who are working at GIS who are a lot younger in the, you know, production and technical aspect. But the GIS staff right now is quite a young staff, which is also really awesome, and it's a nice mix because there are some people who are seasoned and mature, and then there are people who are young and vibrant, and I feel like that is giving the organization a whole new vibe.
I get you, and I like the sound of that, and the merging of different energies probably really helps to build something totally different from what GIS has traditionally been. Because when you hear GIS, all you think about is the song GIS serving you better.
Exactly.
so that's pretty amazing. Yes. Herma, quite apart from your interest in media, you consider yourself an aspiring fashion designer.
Yes.
Have you put that dream on pause? How are you exploring those dreams?
Oh, no, not on pause at all. I think I've been simultaneously working on it, and I feel like I've been working on it in the background for quite a while. Fun fact, one of my first jobs, which was a teaching job at the Canary's Infant School, the very first salary, I used it to buy a machine. Oh, and wow. At the time, I did not know how to sew. I had no clue. So my brother and I, we sat down with some of his old t-shirts just trying to understand, you know, how exactly the machine worked, and that using YouTube videos and tutorials online, I can confidently say that I can now sew. The design aspect is something that I was interested in from school, so I would do a lot of illustrations of clothing. And what's interesting is now that I have the ability to sew, I feel like my illustrations have kind of, they're not as wild and as exciting as they were, because now I have to actually try to make this.
I have to actually try
and make it so all the wings and the trails, I'm like, yeah, do we really need that? Mm-hmm. It's something that I am currently working on making a reality. And I say aspiring because I'm in the process of creating a portfolio. And while I have done, you know, just small projects for people who may have asked, who probably saw a picture or two or saw something that I was wearing and say, you know, I like this, where can I get one? I'm like, ooh, I made it. I've not really done anything noteworthy. So I say aspiring because it's something that I feel like I can do a lot better in terms of putting my work out there. And so that is in the works.
All right, that's pretty amazing. I'm looking forward to it because I was checking out your social media and I saw some things and I was like, I bet you she made that based on the caption that you had.
Yes, most of them.
I think it was a green piece and it had lots of cleavage, I think, if I'm not remembering.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Most of the images on my social media, either I made the earrings or the clothing that I'm wearing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually just trying to find. Yes, it was a green piece. And the caption was risky. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
You know what?
That was one of my made in one day projects. I try to kind of challenge myself sometimes to give myself maybe 8 hours or 4 hours and try to make, see what I can make in that time.
That's
so, yeah, that was
amazing.
One of those.
That's pretty those amazing. Pieces. That's pretty amazing. And I hope that you continue to do that. And, you know, a brand comes out of it and that we could all see in the retail stores very soon.
That's the goal.
As we are just about winding down the interview, we have just about 5 minutes left. One of the key things that we do on this program is try to give advice to young people, especially those who may want to pursue their dreams and may be a bit scared. What's some of the advice that you could give them?
That's a good question, and it's one that is often difficult for me to answer because I think everybody's experience is different. But for one of the things that I think never goes wrong is always be open to learn. I don't think you are ever good enough or, at a point where you cannot learn. So if you're at point A or you are at point C, or even if you think that you've reached your potential, there's always something that you can add and you can learn from, you know, the strangest people sometimes, people that who may be younger than you or you think, you know, may not have anything to offer. They have something to offer. And for people who have dreams, I think don't forget the dream, because for me, that's what it started as. And I am, again, going back to being from Canaries. It is so easy, Ronnie, to live in Canaries. The cost of living is very easy. So, sometimes you hear about the unemployment rate in these villages. It's because it's very easy for you to sit down and do nothing. You can be unemployed, and I guarantee you, you'd eat every day. So So if you don't have a dream to propel you to get up and do something, which is what it was for me, I feel like the dream is what made me get up and achieve. That you may never get up and do it. So never stop dreaming. I remind myself that some days I'm just a girl with big dreams. So don't stop dreaming and don't only dream, but work on it every day. And it can be the smallest step, but you know, the small steps add up.
Definitely. Well, finally, two more things. I promise. Two more things.
That's okay.
What books keep you motivated? Do you read anything that keeps you constantly on the go?
Okay, so that is a good question because my reading is a lot of, I like fantasy, and I don't mean romance. There is a difference.
Yes.
I like fantasy novels. I like to travel realms that may not necessarily exist, that I may never experience in this lifetime. And I feel like that keeps my creativity alive.
Mm.
So fantasy novels, The Way of Kings, if you've never read it, it's a big book, but trust me, that's by Brandon Sanderson. That book will keep you going. The Alchemist is one book that I think everybody must read in their lives.
Absolutely.
That book is just so good by Paulo Coelho. In addition to that, I like to read a lot of leadership books, books that kind of just have something to offer in terms of maybe just how you are a leader of yourself or how you could work better as a team. So I don't want to call it self-help, but nonfiction as well, I think, is important to add to your reading.
Who are the people that you look up to in your various fields of interest?
Okay, that is a good question because I feel like that has changed so much. In my area of interest, I feel like a lot of the people that I look up to, YouTube these days have been a really good friend. I like the way that Trevor Noah delivers a story, the way that Trevor Noah tells a story. And I feel like, you know, I have a lot that I could take from that. Mm-hmm. So I love watching him. There are also, right now they're eluding me, Zoe Hong is another YouTuber that I watch a lot. Let's see, Zoe Hong, she's in fashion designing right here in St. Lucia. I think women in media on a whole, I'm just so proud of that movement because from Franny to Maureen to Masana, I feel like they all have different, Jade Brown, they all have different styles and in themselves, they're powerhouses. So, yes, for sure. From The Wave, Philo, TC, even Mike, to a certain extent, have shaped who I am as, you know, a media professional. Lisa at GIS, Davina, the way that she, you know, just runs as PIO, I feel like they have, in the 5 months that I've been there, really contributed, and my coworkers as well, Jeffy and Janelle. So I feel like everybody that I meet, Ronnie, even you in the beginning, I felt like in the beginning you were one of the people that kept me sane.
Bad influence.
No, I kept me sane. Not bad influence at all, you kept me sane. So, yeah, so I feel like these people, and there are a lot of names, even I think Kira, who every day kind of tries to push me to do more, a pain, but pushes me to do more. I feel like these are the people that contribute and continue to contribute to my development, for sure.
You said a name there, and I was going to ask you a very personal question, man.
Let me tell you something, Ronnie.
I'm just going to leave it alone.
All right.
I'm just going to leave it alone. Anyway.
All right.
Thank you so much, Herma. If you feel free to share your social handles with people so they can get in contact with you.
So, yes, you can find me at Herma DeMarc everywhere, Facebook, social media, Herma DeMarc.
All right. Herma DeMarc, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. It was a pleasure.
All right. Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.